CBS Eye on the World, Behind the Black. I'm John Batra. I'm joined by Bob Zimmerman, the author of Behind the Black. We begin with Starliner. Starliner is in orbit with the ISS. Delayed return. Therein lies a tale. Bob, remind what Starliner means to achieve and what we know about its delays. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Starliner is the manned capsule that Boeing has been developing for about a decade. It's 4 years behind schedule. It had to do an extra demo on manned mission because it was having problems, numerous problems. It finally did a manned launch on June 6th, the first manned demo launch to ISS. They docked, had thrust issues during the docking. They had several stuff just didn't work. When they got to ISS, they were supposed to spend a week there and come back on June 12th. They soon announced they were going to delay the return until June 18th. Today they announced they're going to delay it again to June 22nd. And they announced that the delay is so that they could do a static fire hot test of 7 of the 8 aft-facing thrusters while they were still docked to ISS. This hot fire test, they'll fire those thrusters for two bursts, totaling about a second. No, they're not going to fire them very long because that's ISS. And they say this is to perform, to test for future operational missions. But what's really going on here is they don't want to undock with the astronauts on board if there's a possibility those aft thrusters won't fire when they're supposed to, because those thrusters are involved with deorbiting the spacecraft. You could end up getting the spacecraft deorbiting improperly, and that could kill people. And so they want to test those thrusters beforehand to make sure they'll fire. They, I am sure, did not want to fire those thrusters while, under normal conditions, they would not be testing those thrusters while attached to ISS because it causes a lot of other problems. But they're going to do it. And so we have a further delay of the return. NASA is going to have a press briefing next week to outline and better detail this situation. It sounds to me like they're a little bit concerned about the thrusters, and that could be a significant risk for the astronauts coming back.
What does the thruster do on a spacecraft like that returning to Earth? What's the importance?
You're in orbit, and you've got to slow the spacecraft down so that it'll deorbit. And those are the retro rockets, essentially. And you want them to fire the right time at the right amount so that the spacecraft will come back to Earth where planned, where people are ready to pick it up out of the ocean. If those thrusters don't fire as expected, or some of them don't fire at all, it will change the orbit, and it could take them down to Earth in a completely different place. It could take or it could put them into an orbit that they can't get out of. So this is a concern. You want to make sure those thrusters work properly.
And Bob, do they need all of them?
I suspect not. There's redundancy here, but that doesn't mean they want to make sure that what's reliable. You know, they want to know the reliability of what they've got.
All right, the FAA is busy. A public meeting scheduled. Why?
Yeah, we got two stories from the FAA about SpaceX. One is not so good, one is good. The first is not so good. This has to do with the new impact statement that the FAA decided it had to do at Cape Canaveral, having to do with SpaceX's proposed Starship Super Heavy operations there. They did one in 19. For some reason, they decided they needed to do another one, and it's really the logic's bad. They've announced the public meetings they're going to have, so you can, and some Zoom meetings. So if you want to go and hassle and harass SpaceX or scream about the FAA in public, you can do so. They'll also be telling you what they'll try to do. That's the not so good news, because it's slowing things down, and there's no reason for FAA to be doing that. The other is good news. The FAA realized there's no reason for them to do mishap investigation after the fourth test flight of Starship Super Heavy out of Boca Chica. That flight occurred in early June. The FAA has now announced that it was so much within the planned and authorized activities as described by SpaceX that the FAA is not going to do its, quote, mishap investigation on that flight. It's going to accept when SpaceX is ready to fly, assuming it will fly a similar flight plan, it can just go ahead. So that means the SpaceX won't have to do what it has had to do in the last three flights, wait anywhere from weeks to months for the FAA to simply retype SpaceX's investigation and look it over and proofread it and then release it. In this case, they'll just let SpaceX go. There's one unknown. If SpaceX decides to change the flight plan, such as bring Super Heavy back to the tower to be caught by the chopsticks, then I think the FAA would step in and say, no, we're not so sure about that, and there could be a delay in that kind of context. Maybe not. We'll have to wait and see.
Bob, a general question. Starliner, its launches have been troubled. Do they hold public meetings about Starliner beforehand because it was launched on a ULA booster? Do they do investigations of Starliner because of the troubles these last months?
That is an incredibly good question, John, and it illustrates, I think, the politics of the situation, because Starliner is a manned vessel, just like an airplane. I mean, it's not just like an airplane, but it is essentially an airplane in this context of the FAA. And the FAA is treating SpaceX like these test flights are airline mishaps of a normal plane, and they do investigations. But you would think they would then be doing the same thing with Boeing and Starliner. And since then, I had never thought of this before until you just raised that question. But the truth of the matter is they've never done any investigations of any of the Starliner missions, including the one that's up there right now.
How about public meetings?
Public meetings, they don't do public meetings when it comes to impacts. This is an impact statement. It's a separate issue. But mishap investigations, they have not done any mishap investigations, as far as I know, on any of the previous flights. I could be wrong. I'm doing this from memory. But very clear now, there's no discussion of an FAA investigation of the present Starliner manned mission. This really does illustrate possibly the politics behind the FAA's heavy thumb on all of SpaceX's operations right now.
NASA, a simulated medical emergency on ISS. Is that a good idea?
Well, it's not on ISS. This is a really silly story, and it does illustrate some problems at NASA's operations. They were doing a simulated medical emergency on the ground, simulating a case where someone has a very serious heart issue on ISS, but they were on the ground. And this was something you don't air live stream unless you've announced you're announcing it live stream, and that it's a simulation. But somehow, the regularly scheduled live stream of NASA's TV suddenly switched to this simulation without any explanation. Kind of think of War of the Worlds, you know?
Yeah.
And suddenly the public was thinking that somebody on ISS was a stricken astronaut that had no pulse. That there was serious, quote, unfortunately, the prognosis for Commander is relatively tenuous, said one person in his broadcast. And there's more. And the point is, so the public got very, very alarmed. And so NASA issued quickly a statement. No, that was a mistake. It was a training exercise on the ground. It wasn't supposed to be live aired. We made a mistake. How that could happen in this suggests management issues at NASA, but that's what happened.
Well, we all know the moon landing, Bob. You understand.
I won't comment.
Yes. No further. We don't want to do fake news here. We just reference some. Once upon a time, there was a fairy tale. All right. Now, there's a lawsuit against Musk. I lost track of how many times Musk.
There are two stories we got here quickly having to do with lawfare against Musk. The first is a lawsuit. This is by the same 8 former SpaceX employees who wrote an internal letter back, I guess, last year, in which they demanded the employees gather together to protest Musk's tweets on what was then Twitter, now X. They got fired. They sued. They filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board. They've now also sued Musk and SpaceX directly because they don't like the content of his tweets. And the link, this article is really hilarious because the things they complain about are so trivial and ridiculous and shouldn't bother anyone for more than a nanosecond. These people should have been fired as far as I'm concerned, because anyone who's an employee who gets this bothered by this kind of silly stuff is really not focused on their work. But they sued. We'll see how that goes. The second story has to do with an article in the American Geophysical Union publication of a paper that claims that the mega giant constellations that are coming, most specifically Starlink and Musk, are going to destroy the ozone layer. This is a garbage paper that really is not well thought out, and it really is an absurd position. It's really designed to just make the to gin up opposition to the large constellations for a variety of reasons. One, because it's Musk and they want to hurt him, and two, because the astronomy community is annoyed because these constellations might interfere with their ground-based telescopes. And as I say repeatedly, get off the ground. Put your telescopes in space where they won't have this problem, and you'll have much better observations. So that's two stories they're going after Musk.
Here's a puzzle, Bob. You have a job at SpaceX. You're so lucky it's impossible to exaggerate what position you're in. This is the future. This is history. What are they? I fault SpaceX hiring. How would they bring on somebody alienated?
It's a good question, John. But you know, nowadays there are so many social justice warriors that pop up after hiring that you don't know they exist until they get there. That you just, it's a hard thing. They're like, it's whack-a-mole. They're, you know, so many young people today are not focused on the right things. They think politics are all and everything, and they should really not. In SpaceX, your job is engineering if you get hired. It's not trying to tell Elon Musk what to tweet. It's just ridiculous.
Everybody at SpaceX is lucky, lucky, lucky. Now, one more. SpaceX has found something in Canada. What?
Yeah, we talked about this previously. There were debris that fell in Canada in February, and that was discovered by the farmers when they started to do agriculture when the snow went away. And those debris, it's about on five different farms, I think eight pieces of debris. They think it came from the trunk of a Dragon cargo capsule. The trunk is part of the service module. It doesn't come back to Earth. It burns up in the atmosphere. So when the Dragon capsule was splashed down, it separated the service module and the trunk, and it appears some pieces of the trunk landed in Saskatchewan. So now SpaceX sent some engineers and a U-Haul truck to pick the stuff up. I'm sure they negotiated some deal with the farmers to get it because they want to look at it to see why this stuff survived reentry. And we have a little bit of anti-space stuff. An astronomer, a female astronomer from the University of Virginia, showed up as they picked up the stuff, screaming about how Starlink satellites are going to destroy the world when they come crashing down, even though Starlink satellites are too small and they always burn up in the atmosphere. This debris, though, needs to be inspected because they do need to find out why the trunk part of the service module survived so they can better plan future situations so this won't happen.
Bob Zimmerman, the website is Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.